Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name is great among the nations, and in every place incense is offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name is great among the nations, says the Lord. Almighty God,
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may be perfectly know you and worthy magnified in your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write an easy law in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God,
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. By the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, firm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The epistle is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and her brother Sothenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The gradual hymn, after which the younger members may leave for Sunday school, 112. There is our Redeemer.
Thank you. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John, chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher. "Where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Kephas," which is translated Peter. This is the Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and all times acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There are some things I've seen in my life that somehow have exceeded what I thought should have been grossly overhyped expectations. The first, quite a while ago now, was the Taj Mahal in India. The second was the Niagara Falls in the United States and Canada. And the third was the Chateau or Palace of Versailles in France. Some destinations just stand out above the rest. Many are the type of places where you can take a photograph and it requires no explanation to identify the location. But some places are less well known and can therefore often be the most rewarding to visit in person. For many of these attractions, it's what they symbolize and the destinations they represent that makes them so significant. In other cases, it is the site itself that makes it worth visiting the country. The Taj Mahal is the one site in India that I expect all travellers need to see. The country is filled with incredible cities and fabulous places to visit, but the 17th century Taj is that place that says you've been to India. This mausoleum, commissioned by the Shah Jahan for his wife, Mutmas Mahal, is known internationally as a symbol of love. This, in my view, fantastic structure, made with inlaid precious and semi-precious stones, I expect has to be visited to be fully appreciated. Its riverfront setting, surrounding gardens, and reflecting pools are also what make the Taj Mahal so special. On the border between the United States and Canada, the Niagara Falls have been drawing explorers and travelers for centuries. Just over an hour from the city of Toronto, Niagara Falls is easy to get to, and the town is a fun place also. Walk up to the edge of the falls, stroll along the paved walk lining the gorge for different views, or take a boat tour for a close-up look at the water pouring over the lip of the gorge above you. For a bird's eye view, one may head up the Skylon Tower to look out over the falls. At night, the falls can be seen lit in different colours. I was visiting in the summer, but if you're visiting in winter, watch the huge plum of mist rising into the sky above the falls. The wealth and grandeur of 17th century France is on display at the incredible Palace of Versailles. The palace and the grounds are a UNESCO World Heritage Site and should be near the top of any touring plans when in or near the city of Paris. The palace has an unbelievable 2,300 rooms housing some of France's most impressive interior design work, especially in the world-famous Hall of Mirrors. Other important rooms include the King's State Apartment and the Queen's Apartment. The grounds of the palace encompass some 800 acres, and one of the most impressive sites is the gardens. Geometrical pathways follow immaculately trimmed hedges past serene pools, all surrounded by lawns cut to literally within an inch of their life. But again, pictures couldn't come close to capturing the reality, impressive though they are. And I think this feeling of surprising awe might have been how the disciples in today's gospel reading felt when they met Jesus. In the liturgical calendar, we are now in the season of Epiphany. Epiphany, of course, being the season after Christmas, when we remember, celebrate, and meditate on the birth of Jesus. The Epiphany season is when we remember, celebrate, and meditate on the revelations of who Jesus was and what he was doing on earth. It starts with the arrival of the wise men and ends with the Transfiguration. The Gospel reading this second week of Epiphany talks about the baptism of Jesus. John describes his revelation of seeing the Spirit of God descend like a dove upon Jesus. And John made it clear that this revelation and what it meant to him, it was his personal moment of Epiphany. This is the Son of God. This is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Each of these statements is in itself enough to make a sermon. But what I love the most is what we see in the encounter of the disciples, which they had with Jesus. The first two, Andrew and the unnamed disciple, had been following John the Baptist. they would have heard him discussing Jesus, the long-awaited one, the one John the Baptist said he was preparing the way for. They would have heard his discussion of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the man who comes ahead of John the Baptist because he came before, the one on whom the Spirit of God descended, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, the Son of God. That may seem considerable hype. It's an audacious amount of praise to heap on someone. I imagine if I were one of those disciples, I would be curious. I would want to meet this person John the Baptist was talking about. It would be something you at least would need to check out to see against your checklist of things to do before you die. But it would seem that there was no way a person could live up to such an audacious amount of hype. But like the Taj Mahal or the Palace of Versailles, Jesus met and exceeded those expectations. Something about Jesus was enough that we know these disciples stayed with him and followed him, not just for a few days, but until his death and his resurrection and beyond. These disciples became some of Jesus' apostles, his 12 closest followers, and later they were some of the founders of the church. And we still have churches named after them. St. Andrew's, St. John's, for instance. Whatever their expectations were, Jesus met and exceeded them. Meeting Jesus was profound enough that it changed the course of these men's lives. Andrew was so moved by the experience that very day that he went and found his brother Simon and told him he found the Messiah. It's when Simon meets Jesus that we must see just how profound this encounter really was. It's when we see the true meaning of Epiphany. The first thing Jesus does when he meets Simon is to change his name. Try to imagine that. Your brother comes and finds you and tells you you have to meet this person he just met. He's dragging you there as fast as he can. And when you meet this guy, he doesn't say, "Hi, nice to meet you. Tell me about yourself." No. Jesus basically says, "Hello, my name is Jesus. I know your name, but it's not right. It might have been right before, but not anymore. I'm giving you a new name." That is how profound it was when we truly encounter Christ for the first time. We can hear all about him and the religion founded in his name. That's like the disciples of John the Baptist. But like the Taj Mahal, the Palace of Versailles, or the Niagara Falls, just hearing about it doesn't suffice. You have to encounter it in real life to truly begin to grasp what it is. When we truly encounter Christ, it changes everything. When Simon meets Jesus, he literally had his name changed. Jesus saw Simon and knew him completely. He knew who he was and who he had been. He also knew who Simon could be or would be. Jesus knew that through Simon's encounter with him, he would be so profoundly and irrevocably changed that his old name was no longer sufficient. Christians throughout the last 2,000 years have disagreed and argued about many things, some of which are alluded to in today's gospel passage. They've debated about the meaning of Christ being God and man, about the meaning of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, about the Holy Spirit, about baptism, about what it means to follow Christ. But one thing has always been true. When we encounter Christ, it changes everything. It changes us in profound ways. Our Epiphany moments all look different because in many ways they are unique to us. Some people have dramatic conversion experiences that become an anchor point on the faith journeys. They're like Simon Peter. For them, they were one thing, and then after encountering Christ, they were something totally different. Some of us grow up in the church, and our faith journey is filled with moments of little epiphanies, after which we experience our faith in deeper ways. For some of us, and this at least was true for me, and remains true, our faith journeys involve a wandering route. We perhaps drift in and out of our faith, but these moments of epiphany are what bring us back to table as we realize that life in communion with God is deeper and more meaningful, and that we found looking first at ourselves. But regardless of the shapes it takes, epiphanies are available to all of us. As Jesus says in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, "Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be open for you." Or, as we hear God speaking to a church in the book of Revelation, "Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come to eat with you and you with me." And this isn't just a one-time thing. Every time we encounter Christ, the encounter impacts us. And that's why we practice spiritual disciplines. That's why we read and study Scripture. It's why we celebrate the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. It's why we pray. It's why we participate in outreach and service. Because Epiphany is not a one-time thing. It's not just a season in the church calendar. Encountering Christ is what our faith is about. It changes us and continues to change us. I think that's why John the Baptist spoke and means when he says that Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit. Through Christ, the Holy Spirit of God is given to us. Because no matter how much we've heard about Jesus, when we truly encounter him, it is profound. It is different and bigger and more than we ever appreciated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, hear the prayers of those who fast in faith. Lord of your people, give grace to the church to be a crown of glory and a sign to the world. We pray for this diocese, for David our bishop, for this group of parishes, and for the clergy and church leaders of this diocese, who shall be meeting in conference during the coming week. Guide your people to discern the special gifts that you have given to each, and use them fully in your service. Grant to all Christian people the mutual love which is the duty of those called to be your own. Strengthen our respect for those who acknowledge Christ in ways different from ours, and draw us towards the unity that is your way. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, bless Charles our King and all in positions of responsibility in both church and state. We pray for the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, the government, and all in the High Court of Parliament and Assembly members. He shall be a forever Thomas Nemo Martin and government of the Republic. Turn the hearts of those who work only for their own interests, and bring them to love others and the freedom of your service. Bring the whole world closer to you in desire for peace and better understanding. Take away prejudices which condemn any of your human family. Lord, in your mercy,
in your prayer.
Lord of our relationships, help those who work in our local community and those with whom we work to offer their gifts and talents to the good of all. Make us witnesses to our faith in harmony with our families, friends, and neighbors. Lord, in your mercy.
Yeah.
Lord of all healing, we pray for those who feel cut off from fellowship with others because of their nationality, race, or color, or way of life. Grant them the assurance of their work and give to those who have rejected them the grace to seek and welcome them in love. Have mercy on orphaned or neglected children. Visit and relieve the homeless of those driven out by war or persecution, especially in Ukraine. Protect those who are sick or suffering, and be with those who have any special need. Also, those affected by the present harsh winter conditions. Deliver all who know danger, violence, or oppression in the conflict-ridden areas of the world, and strengthen those who work for their relief. We pray for those recently bereaved. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, we give thanks for those who live the life of faith on earth and are now gathered into the eternal unity of the Church in heaven. Rejoicing in that fellowship, may we learn to rejoice with one another. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, our Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
power, and glory,
forever and ever. Amen.
We do not deserve.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in your righteousness, but in your mouthful of great mercies. We are not worthy as much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose name is God, all mercies. Grant us therefore,
Saviour Christ is the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Give the Lord the glory due to his name. Enter his courts with an offering. The offertory hymn 431, and we omit verses 4 and 5. Lord, enthroned as heavenly man. Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us.
He would by his arms upon the cross, and under the blood stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin.
Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life.
At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ.
As we give you drink these holy gifts, make us to know our need of great grace, one in Christ, our Lord.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you the sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of them, forever praising you and saying, the Son be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Immediately following this service, light refreshments will be served in the parochial hall in support of Christian Aid. And I do encourage you to go across and continue the fellowship this morning in less formal surroundings. Tomorrow night, the monthly branch meeting of the Mothers' Union will be held in the parochial hall at 8 o'clock. And on Wednesday and Saturday evenings, the bowling club will meet in the hall at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, the third Sunday of Epiphany, morning prayer at 10 o'clock. And the recessional hymn from Thanks and Praise 164, we shall omit verse 4.